When I was 15 years old, I went for a ride with my grandfather. And the purpose of this ride was to teach me all the things that they didn't teach you in driver's ed. Because y'all know there's a whole lot of stuff they do cover, but there's some stuff they don't cover. So he was giving me the lowdown on safety. Now, my grandfather was a railroad man, and as a retired train master, safety was a big deal to him. So he went, but listen, my dad, he always viewed safety guidelines as suggestions. But my grandfather, he looked at it as the law, okay? Safety first. So I was riding with him, and he taught me all these things you didn't teach you in driver's ed. Like, when you're parked on a hill, not only do you engage your emergency brake, but you turn the wheel so that if your brakes go out, the tires will catch on the curb. They don't talk about that in driver's ed. My driver's ed teacher said, don't run over people. That was about all I learned, driver's education. But he was teaching me all these things about being alert and being aware of your surroundings. And when you're driving, your number one priority is to drive, right? Don't be doing all these other things. But I was riding with him, and he was preaching good. He was giving me some good stuff. I was taking notes. I was taking everything to heart. But then something happened. Then he pulled the car over on the side of the road, got out, and handed the keys to me and said, it's your turn to drive. And my mood changed very, very quickly. I was having fun riding in the passenger seat. I was enjoying hearing all these things, but there came a point when he said, okay, it's your turn. Now you do it. And the disciples had a moment exactly like that with Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. They had been with Jesus. They had been riding in the passenger seat. They saw the things that he said. They saw the things that he did. They saw the miracles. They saw the signs, the wonders, the healings. And then Jesus looked at them and said, it's your turn to drive. He said to them, the works that I do, you're going to do. Yes. And even greater works, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus was telling them, I'm getting out of the driver's seat. I've got the keys. I'm giving the keys to you because I am going away. Therefore, it's your turn to do what I have done. Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And when I look at the ministry of Jesus, I saw him doing signs and wonders and miracles, ministering healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but think that it was not the will of God for Jesus to do all these miraculous things and then go up to heaven and leave a powerless church behind. We are the representation of Jesus Christ in the earth, and Jesus has called us as believers, as Christians, to not only do the works that Jesus did, but to do even greater works. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. We got anybody who believes this morning? Come on, if you believe, just let me know it this morning. Jesus said that signs would follow those that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, have you ever wondered what that phrase meant? That phrase got real personal for my wife and I because we just found out that the whole time that we were living in Wilmington, there were apparently harmful chemicals, deadly chemicals, in the Cape Fear River and in our drinking water. And I looked at my wife because she was kind of worried. I said, you know what? We went to Wilmington to preach the gospel, and Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And look at this next one. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. According to Jesus, that's one of the signs that will follow us, people who believe in him. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Listen, every believer in Jesus has the power to lay hands on the sick. You don't have to have a healing ministry to minister healing. Are you with me so far? You don't have to have a healing ministry to minister healing. You don't have to be a televangelist that travels all over the world healing people to minister healing, because every believer, every child of God is a minister. So today, this morning, I have 4 points that I want to help you, 4 principles about ministering healing. Are you ready this morning? We're going to get out early in honor of July 4th. All right. You're going to be independent at the end of this service. All right. Number one, 4 rules for ministering healing. Number one, don't try this on your own. Tell somebody, don't try this on your own. Come on, tell somebody else. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now look at this last phrase in that verse in John 15, 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada. You can't do anything apart from me. That's what Jesus tells us. And a lot of people are intimidated when it comes to praying for the sick, because they somehow get the mindset of that I'm not able to do this. They think it's all up to me. It ain't up to you. Because apart from Jesus, you can't do nothing. When you minister healing, it is not in your power, it is not in your strength, it is not in your wisdom, it is not in your righteousness, it is in Jesus Christ. When you minister healing, you're representing the Lord Jesus and not yourself. Okay? It's not up to you, because you are not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Amen? The disciples had a problem with the guy because he wasn't part of their club. He wasn't part of their group. He wasn't following them and walking with them, but he was healing the sick and casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And like any good church person, he got offended and got mad about it. Look at this. Mark chapter 9, look what John said. Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us. Notice he didn't say, does not follow you. He doesn't follow us. Doesn't do things our way. He's not part of our system. Doesn't attend our congregation. But he was casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Listen to me, church. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. The power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to save, the power to set free, the power to restore. But when you minister healing, it must be in total reliance upon His power and not your own. I think about the 7 sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And also there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Does the devil know your name? And it says, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. The devil slapped them naked and hid their clothes. The seven sons of Sceva learned that day that you cannot try this on your own. You cannot be, you cannot follow Jesus in name only. You have to have a real relationship. You have to be in Christ Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, don't try this on your own. Don't do it without Jesus, and don't be intimidated, because if you've got Jesus, you've got everything you need. That's why today I'm not going to teach you how to hold your hands and how to stand, and I'm not going to tell you what words to say, because I'm not the Holy Spirit. When it's time for you to pray for somebody, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to do it. He'll tell you what to pray. So I'm here to give you four principles, and you let the Holy Spirit do the rest, all right? Come on, tell somebody again, don't try this on your own. Number one, don't try this on your own. Number two, let God be good. I know that sounds like an unusual thing to say, but you have to let God be good. You see, the whole reason we pray for the sick is because we believe that God is good and that God wants people to be made well. People need to know that God is good. So don't let people blame God for something that the devil did. In my personal observations, the farther somebody is from God, the more they blame God for it. You're going to encounter people who think that God is mad at them, that God has cursed them, that God has made them sick, that God is trying to teach them a lesson. But you need to let God be good and let them know that He is good. Sometimes you might be the only person who tells them that God is good and that God loves them and that He wants to heal them. When Jesus healed people, it's because He was moved with compassion for people. Amen. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them, and He healed their sick. God is good. God loves you, and He wants to heal you. Jesus came as God's representative. He had compassion on the sick, and because of that compassion, because of that love and that care and that concern, He healed them. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I'll read it to you this morning. It says, who Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let's look at that again. What's that second word? Himself. I want you to know that Jesus Christ Himself carried our sins and our sickness and our disease on the cross. Himself. Jesus Christ personally, bodily, in the flesh, for you and for me, carried our sin and sickness upon Himself. I remember reading a story of a lady. It was an article in the Pentecostal Evangel right after World War II. And it was a lady who lived in one of the neighborhoods in London that was being targeted by German planes for bombing campaigns. So in the evenings, the air raid sirens would go off, and everybody in this neighborhood would file into a bomb shelter, and they would spend all night, a sleepless night, worried, afraid, and concerned as they heard the bombs going off all through the night. Except this one older lady who lived in that neighborhood. The air raid sirens went off and everybody went in, but she didn't go into the bomb shelter with them. And a lot of people assumed that she was either killed or that she fled London because they didn't see her. But a few days later, somebody met her on the street and they said, oh, I'm glad you made it back. She said, what do you mean I made it? I never left. He said, well, where have you been? You haven't been going into the bomb shelter. She said, I have been sleeping all night in my bed in my home. They said, are you crazy? She said, no, but I read in the Word of God that the keeper of Israel never sleeps and never slumbers, and there's no point in us both staying up all night. What I want to rephrase 1 Peter 2:24 for you this morning. Okay, I read in the Bible that Jesus himself bore my sickness and my disease. There's no point in us both carrying that burden around. The Bible describes a Jesus who went around healing the sick. And Jesus has not changed. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In other words, Jesus came to do the perfect will of God. If you want to know the perfect will of God, look at everything that Jesus said and look at everything that Jesus did, because Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus came to this earth to demonstrate and to model for you and me the perfect will of God. Well, what did Jesus do? Peter said in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What is God's will for your life? Goodness and healing. Jesus demonstrated for us God's plan and God's purpose for humanity, and time again, Jesus healed not a few, not a select few, not some, but every sick person who came to him. There was no record in all of the Bible that where Jesus ever turned away somebody who came to him for healing. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12:15, a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Luke 6:19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all. Now, if Jesus Christ is perfect theology, then we should base our theology upon him. There's not a single time in all of the Bible where Jesus was healing the multitudes and said, be healed. And then he never stopped and said, wait a minute, I'm not going to heal you because it's the will of God for you to be sick. God wants to teach you something. Jesus never did that. And Jesus is perfect theology. I think we can learn from Jesus Christ that it's God's will for all to be healed. Amen? Amen. Jesus went around healing everybody. Jesus was better than Obamacare. He was a health care dispensing machine. Boy, I tell you what, you know, how do you know that Jesus went into a village? How do you know Jesus had been somewhere? Why? Because everybody there was healed. There weren't any sick people left because Jesus is the healer. And he's not changed a bit. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the will of God for you to be healed. Think about it. It sure ain't the devil's will for you to be healed. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It is the devil's plan for you to be sick, to be impoverished, to struggle, to live in pain. The devil will do everything he can to stop you, to hurt you, to harm you, and hold you back. But it is the will of God for you to have life and life more abundantly. The devil never healed anybody. Why? Because healing comes from God Almighty. In Exodus 15:26, God told Israel, I am the Lord who heals you. Come on, tell somebody, he is the Lord my healer. Psalm 103 verse 1, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. That's the God we serve, church. And healing is one of his benefits, and it belongs to us as children of God. Number one, let God be good. Number one, don't try this in your own. Number two, let God be good. Number three, this is important, let God be God. Number one, don't try this on your own. Number two, let God be good. Number three, let God be God. You have to understand that He is God and we are not. And God uses many different ways to bring healing. Did you know that? God can heal you instantly. God can heal you over time. I have seen both. And I have experienced both. God can do a right now miracle, but God can do a work in your life where He takes you through a season of healing. Here's another way God can heal you. God can give you a word of wisdom. Some friends of mine, when their first daughter was born, she was very, very sick. She wouldn't eat. She had bad colic. She'd cry all the time. They took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what's wrong. We tried everything. There's really nothing we can do. So what did they do? They prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave his wife a word of wisdom. She said, stop giving her baby formula and start giving her almond milk. Just out of the blue, just praying, and God gave her a word of wisdom. She acted on that word of wisdom, and their daughter began to take milk, and she was to take almond milk, and she was fine from that day forward. When's the last time that you got quiet enough before the Lord to hear Him speak to you like that? When's the last time you spent time praying? Listen, sometimes we all want instant miracles. I want instant miracles. We all want instant healing. I want instant healing. Sometimes we have to get in a position to where we're quiet enough to hear God speak, because sometimes God will give you a word of wisdom and He'll heal you or somebody else, heal your loved one, your coworker, your neighbor through that word of wisdom. Do you know who else God gives wisdom to for healing? Doctors and nurses. What? Who would have thought that? I love the medical profession because, listen, my theology lines up with doctors a lot more than it does some pastors. At least the doctors and I can agree that people ought to be healed. Y'all remember what I said in week one? I've never met anybody who truly believed that it wasn't God's will for them to be healed. Why? Because they kept going to the doctor. If it was God's will for you to be sick, why would you fight it, right? Sometimes, oftentimes, many times, God will use doctors and nurses. He'll use medical professionals to accomplish His work in your life. After all, Jesus is the great physician. So don't put God in a box. When you pray for somebody to be healed, God can heal them any way He wants to on any time frame that He establishes. So at the end of the day, you got to let God be God. Amen? It's our job to pray for people. It's God's job to heal them. Do y'all see how that works? You can't get the roles mixed up, okay? It's our job to pray. It's God's job to do a miracle. Ultimately, remember that things do happen when we pray. Uh-huh. Come on, tell somebody, things happen when we pray. Come on, make it personal. Things happen when you pray. Come on, tell somebody else, things happen when you pray. Listen, y'all, I'm not going to promise you that every time you pray for somebody, they're going to get healed right away. But this is what I do guarantee you, is that every prayer you don't pray will go unanswered. 100% of the prayers that you do not pray will go unanswered. I like the odds of when I do pray better than when I don't pray. Because things happen when the people of God pray. Never underestimate the power of prayer. That's one of the things that I love about Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob will be in the middle of conversation. He'll stop and say, well, can we pray for that person? Can we pray about this situation? And I love that. Why? Because things happen when the people of God pray. I think way too many times we spend time talking to everybody else about it when we ought to be on our knees talking to God about it. Things happen when we pray, even if it doesn't look like anything is happening. One of the most incredible things I've ever experienced are times when I've laid hands on the sick and God instantly healed them. I think about Sandra Thomas sitting there on the third row. I remember a Wednesday night she came and she had a hand injury. And I laid hands on her and prayed for her and God instantly healed her right there in that service. Think about a time when there was a lady who had a growth on her arm and she came forward for prayer and I prayed for her and that growth vanished. I thank God for the times when I prayed for people and God's instantly healed them. There's times when we have a church, as a church, have prayed for people and God's done an instant miracle. I'll never forget getting a phone call that a guy named Surrey Williams had been involved in a severe accident, and he was being lifted by helicopter, taken to Vidant Medical Center. And on a Wednesday night, we got together and prayed as a church, and by the time he got to Vidant, they said there's no indications of internal damage whatsoever. Things happen when the people of God pray, but if you don't see anything happening, pray anyway. Keep on praying. Yes. Just because nothing seems to change, do not give up and don't lose heart, because miracles are often instant, but healing is often a process. Think about a guy named R.W. Shambach. One day a news reporter was interviewing Brother Shambach, and he asked him, he said, "Mr. Shambach, what would happen if you prayed for 99 people in a row and none of them got healed?" He said, "I tell you what I would do. I'd go looking for number 100. Why? Because if you don't see anything changing in the natural, it doesn't mean that something's not happening in the spiritual. So if you don't see an immediate change, keep praying anyway. Because things happen when the people of God pray. The second week of this series, I talked about the obstacles to healing, man's barriers to healing. And there, the Bible identifies different things in our lives that can prevent the flow of healing, that can prevent the work of God, that can stop up the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But I also gave the disclaimer, Deuteronomy 29:29, is that the secret things belong to God. There's some things that I cannot understand. There are some people that are good, godly people, saints of God, and yet we don't see physical healing in their lives. The secret things belong to the Lord, but as Christians, as children of God, we have great consolation, because we know if we don't receive healing in this lifetime, that we have the promise of ultimate healing in heaven. Somebody asked me one time when we did a series on questions about the Bible, somebody asked me, "Well, what language will we speak in heaven?" I said, "Well, I don't know, but I know two languages that we won't speak, and that's sign language and Braille." Why? Because there is no sickness, there is no disease, there are no disabilities in heaven. The Word of God says in Revelation 21:4 that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I tell you what, following Jesus beats anything I know. Four rules for ministering healing. Four principles. Number one, don't try this on your own. Number two, let God be good. Number three, let God be God. And the last one, number four, before you pray for somebody, or after you pray for somebody, check their spiritual vital signs. Because when it comes to healing, we almost always focus just on the physical need. And it's important to focus on the physical need. Jesus focused on the physical need. Jesus had compassion on people's physical needs, okay? But above and beyond that, Jesus came because we were spiritually in need. Jesus came because we were dead in our trespasses, and we desperately, desperately need Jesus Christ. So when you minister healing to somebody, don't forget to ask the all-important question, how are you doing spiritually? Come on, practice. Ask your neighbor, how you doing spiritually? It's a wonderful thing to see God heal broken bodies. And I thank God for the many, many, many miracles I've seen. But the greatest miracle of all is when Jesus saves a soul from hell. The greatest miracle of all is the new birth. When Jesus washes our sins away, he transforms us from a slave to sin to a child of God. That is the ultimate miracle. And listen, when you pray for somebody, remember that salvation is the ultimate expression of God's healing power. So don't neglect the spiritual needs of those you pray for. It's okay to ask them how they're doing spiritually. Because in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, we find God's priority list for us. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So God's number one concern is not the physical realm, it's the spiritual realm. And he wants us to be blessed in the natural, but our first priority is always the spiritual. God wants you to prosper and he wants you to be in health, but ultimately, above all else, he wants your soul to prosper. So make sure that we keep the main thing when we pray. Physical healing is important, but salvation is our number one priority. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save that which was lost." And who is the representative of Jesus in the earth? You and me. So it's our job, above all else, to seek and save the lost. Think about this. It doesn't matter if somebody is physically healed if they're still on their way to hell. Hello. Did y'all get that? If you're taking notes, we're on point number 4. If you're taking medicine, it's 1206. Doesn't matter if you're physically well. The Bible says, "What profited a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Amen. Don't be afraid to open up your mouth and ask somebody how they're doing spiritually. Tell your neighbor, don't be scared. Okay? Sharing the gospel is not an act of aggression. It's an act of compassion. Think about that. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you're not being aggressive with them. You're having compassion upon them. We tell people about Jesus. Why? Because God cares about them and God loves them, and we do too. One of the things that I learned through Christ in Action is that sometimes you have to earn the right to tell somebody about Jesus. Some people you just can't walk up to and start thumping them over the head with scriptures. A lot of times you have to earn the right to speak into their life. Yes. How do we do that? By showing them love. Right. By not judging them. By not pointing our religious finger down at them. Yes. How do we earn the right to speak into their lives? By meeting their physical needs. Think about it. Jesus fed the 5,000 and then he preached to the 5,000. And healing is often an open door to tell somebody about Jesus. That's exactly what happened the last person that I personally led to Jesus. Recently, a man came up to me and I was talking to him, and he began to tell me about all of these health problems he was having and how it was such a struggle that he was having back problems and neck problems, and he started talking about all these issues, and I looked at him and said, "Well, can I pray for you that God would heal you?" Yes. And I saw a little tear come to his eye. He said, "Yes, I would love that." Amen. So I prayed for him that God would heal his back and that God would heal his neck. And then after I prayed for him, I looked at him and said, are y'all paying attention?
Yes.
That's good stuff here. I looked at him and said, "You know, we've talked about your physical struggles, but how are you doing spiritually?" Boy, he opened the floodgates. And we talked for just a couple of minutes, and this is what I did. I didn't say, "Well, if you want to, I can pray with you to accept Jesus." I didn't do that. I didn't say, "Well, honey, do you want to pray with me?" No, I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, pray this prayer with me."
All right. Yes.
Why should we dance around the issue? Jesus called us to be leaders, to be the light of the world, to be a city on a hill. Why should I prance and tiptoe around the issue and say, well, if you feel like it, no, the man is lost and he needs Jesus. I'm going to lead him in a prayer. And I'm not special. I'm just a little strange sometimes. Okay, you can do what I do. It's just as easy for you because it's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same power of God. It's the same cleansing blood, right? Amen. Somebody's sick, pray for them. And then ask them, well, how are you doing spiritually? We talked for a minute and I led him in a prayer and he accepted Jesus right on the spot. I said, just repeat after me, right? Doesn't have to be long and complicated. You don't have to have a script. We know what salvation is. We're lost in our sins and we need Jesus to wash us, cleanse us, and give us new life, right? Yes. You could just pray, God save me, and God will save you, right? So don't sit here and tiptoe around it. If you can tell that somebody is opening their heart, lead them in a prayer to put their faith in Jesus. Because he even said to me, he said, well, you know, I know that I'm not right with God, but I'll be honest with you, I'm just not in the mood today. And you know what I said to him? That ain't gonna stop God. Listen, God's not waiting for you to be in the right mood to feel good. God wants to meet you right now where you are in your bad mood. Why? Because Jesus saves us not when we're at our best, but when we're at our worst. We all, listen, sharing the gospel is not an act of aggression. It's an act of compassion. But when you have compassion on people, don't be so timid and bashful and shy that you don't lead somebody where they need to go spiritually. Now, I didn't choke him, okay, shouting scriptures in his face. Started out easy. And when I saw the direction that it needed to go in, I simply led him there. Y'all with me so far? Good, because that's all I've got for you today. Even if somebody's a Christian, check their vital signs. Do you have a pastor? Do you have a spiritual authority in your life? Do you belong to a local church? Do you go to that church? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you worshiped God? On a scale of 1 to 10, okay, 1 being you just got saved 3 seconds ago, 10 being, okay, Billy Graham, Sunday school teacher, right? Where are you on that scale? And you can lead somebody in a prayer of rededication. You can lead somebody in a prayer of saying, you know what? God, I've lost my first love. Help me to get my first love back. Listen, we ought to. We know that it's the will of God for people to be healed. We are obligated as the representatives of Jesus Christ to minister to people's physical needs. But do not neglect the spiritual. I'm telling you, praying for somebody who's sick is one of the biggest open doors to ministering to somebody spiritually that I've ever seen. Why? Because you're ministering to somebody where their need is. So I pray that God is just stirring up something in your spirit. I pray that God's going to open up doors and windows and opportunity. You're going to be checking out at Walmart, and the cashier's going to tell you about all her health problems going back to 1987. And then God's going to say, yep, there it is. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to ask the worship team if you guys will come. But I want to pray over you, and then we're going to practice this thing. I want to pray over you, and we're going to practice. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, if there's somebody sitting near you that needs healing, I'm going to ask you to pray for them. How you like them apples? Come on, I pulled off the side of the road. I took the keys out of the ignition. It's your turn to drive today. You got more than you expected this morning, didn't you? All right. But you see, we're going to make this a commissioning service because the Bible says that Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out, and Jesus has commissioned us as every child of God to go out and make disciples of all nations. And one of the key things in that is to pray and minister healing to people. God's going to open up doors. People that you thought would never talk to you about Jesus. You just watch and see what God does. I'm not saying everybody's going to open up. But if you don't obey and pray for healing, nobody's going to open up. Wish I had an organ on my pocket right now. I'd play it. That's a good word for somebody. God's wanting to use you to open up avenues and open up doors. Amen? So just throw up your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every child of God, Lord, that you have called us to be the light of the world. And Father, I thank you that there all authority and power in heaven and earth has been given to you, and you've given it to us as the kingdom of God, as the family of God, as children of God. And Lord, you have put us on this earth to be ambassadors of your kingdom. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon every one of these men and women. Lord, that you would use us to go out and minister healing, God, and minister salvation, to share the love of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear. God, when you open those doors to minister healing, God, to ask somebody how they're doing spiritually, Lord, use us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that this week, that even today, that souls are going to come into the kingdom of God. Lord, as we go out as your representatives, as your ambassadors, Lord, as we do the works that you did and even greater works, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down for just a moment. If there's somebody here today, you need healing, will you just lift up your hand? I don't want to ask people sitting near you. If you guys would just stand around them and just pray over them this morning. You say, I need healing. Just keep those hands up. If you guys will find somebody with their arm up and just pray for them this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for using those who pray today. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you are the healer, that you are the healing Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power flowing in the name of Jesus. In his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your healing power flowing in this place today. Lord, we praise you. We worship you this morning. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship the Lord together as we pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power flowing. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, that you are the healer. Thank you, Lord, that it is your will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him just another moment today. We're not going to be here much longer, but in these final moments, let's worship together. Lord, we live to worship you.
To worship you. I live to worship you.
To be a living sacrifice.
To worship you. worship you.
Lord, we want to be willing vessels everywhere we go, vessels of healing, vessels of love. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift up your hands. Lift up your heart to the Lord.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live.
Get ready, church. God's going to use you. God's going to use you. In my ministry, there are landmark moments and times when God just really revealed principles to me. The first time that I ever gave an altar call for people in need of healing, nearly everybody in the church came forward. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's marked by sickness and disease. There are people who are sick everywhere. And one of the primary things that Jesus did was heal the sick. That is God's purpose and plan for us as a church. That is your purpose as a Christian. So get ready this week. God's going to use you not only to pray for somebody who needs healing, God's going to use you to tell somebody about Jesus. And there is no spiritual high like telling somebody about Jesus. I'm telling you, once you do it one time, you will be hooked and you will not be happy doing anything else. Get ready. Get ready. God's going to use you. Come on, throw up your hands and say, God, use me. Come on, say it again. Use me. Use my life. Hallelujah.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Lord, here we are, willing vessels. Lord, use us for your glory.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
I want to ask the ushers if you'll come forward as we conclude our worship today through giving.